Right, I've got Stuart Berry, who is Director of Product Management for Mapping Software. And Stuart is actually overseas in the US. Hi, Stuart, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us on this show. Stuart, would you like to start by telling the listeners who Stuart Berry is and where you're coming from?
Absolutely. So I'm the Director of Product Management for the Mapstude Mapping Software, which is a division at Caliper Corporation. And the Mapstude Mapping Software is used all over the world. It's used in Australia, and it's used in the US, UK, Canada, South Africa, and it's used for business mapping. So if you're a company and you want to improve your delivery locations or discover who your customers are or improve your direct mailing campaigns, then you can use Mapstude to analyze the information from your spreadsheets of information and see your spreadsheet data in ways that you wouldn't otherwise be able to.
I received a media release which was titled "The New Human Centre of Australia is a LEC in New South Wales." So what is this, the New Human Centre? What is this all about?
So this is very interesting, actually. Yeah. So the Australian government has been moving towards providing open data. Mm-hmm. And open data is greater access to government information. And lots of governments have been moving to do this, to open up databases that would otherwise be held only by official officers. And they're doing this because of the great impacts on the economy. It's been seen in many different research applications that opening up this data drives business, increases transparency for government, it improves efficiency of government services, it grows the economy, and it helps the public have access to improved services.
Uh-huh.
Now, in terms of the press release or the story you're referring to, Australia is one of the few countries that's gone as far as opening up the location of every single address in the country.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is that there's an address point for every single location, building, property, residence, office, associated with its GPS coordinates.
Uh-huh.
So it's longitude and latitude.
Yep, yep.
And Denmark is one of the other primary countries that have done this. There are a few other countries who are attempting to do it, France, Iceland, and the U.S. wants to do it.
Uh-huh.
But the U.S. doesn't really fund data to the same level and quality that countries like Australia and the United Kingdom do.
Uh-huh.
So while the benefits would be greater than the investment, the Americans can't, unfortunately, get the investment to even begin the process. So Australia is in a very good position.
Mm-hmm.
And by releasing this open data, you can do a lot of different and interesting analysis on the information. And the analysis that we conducted, just to show how you could work with this big data set, is calculating the center of Australia based on every single house, every single address location for the entire country. And by doing that, the center of gravity, so it's drawn towards the center of all of these different addresses, and that's how we calculated this new center, this new human center for Australia being next to Knoebel Lake.
Okay. From your knowledge and experience, would there be any reason why any particular government or country would not be supportive of releasing the open data?
Absolutely. So there's a pretty varied history to open data.
Yep.
It's mostly been successful. The failures have usually been because not enough data was made open, or it was made open because of with copyright restrictions or limitations that meant that it really couldn't be used efficiently. So the U.S. Has always had fairly extensive open data.
Uh-huh.
So for even since going back as far as the 60s and 70s, they released the street lines, so the address lines for the entire country, which back then was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And nobody really did it for several decades afterwards. The data's of low quality, but it was of good enough quality to spur on transportation analysis, transportation planning, to improve the infrastructure in the U.S., to plan for future infrastructure changes. So even that was a big boon to the economy. The next big open data initiative by the U.S. government was opening up GPS. So GPS was originally simply a military application. And by opening up, obviously, it's changed the world. It adds hundreds of billions of dollars to the U.S. economy annually at this point, and has improved accuracy and spawned many, many applications all over the world. We've all used GPS at this point. It's not an alien concept to anybody, but it's only because the U.S. government opened up access to their GPS satellite network, and then commercial companies were able to start implementing applications built upon that. I mean, in Australia, I think they have mining vehicles that are completely automated based on GPS with no human drivers, obviously self-driving cars, a myriad of different applications. But countries that didn't release open data were countries like the UK, for example. So they had very good quality data, and they treated the government data as a business. So taxpayers would pay to create the data, and then anybody who would want access to it, including the public, would have to pay again to access the data that they already paid for through their taxes. So it was kind of a funny situation. And in the UK, it was the Ordnance Survey, which was a quasi-governmental slash business organization, and still is. But the government forced through releasing a lot of their high-quality data sets, and it has reaped higher benefits than the costs of developing it. So that's the brief history and some of the reasons why they didn't want to. They thought they could make more money by protecting it, but it's been shown time and again that by releasing it generates a lot more money for the economy in general.
Yep. Just for the public benefit, who collects the data and who holds the data? Who's responsible for the data?
So the data is still produced by the government. The raw data is still produced by the government. And then anybody can then value add to that information to do something useful with it. So releasing weather data in the U.S., for example, allows applications such as highly detailed forecasts for farmers. But the data itself is held by the government, but they release it without, typically without any copyright restrictions or any licensing restrictions. So third parties and private institutions can take it and do something useful with it. So flood data, even data on safety, crime in India, for example, to grow tourism, the government has released lots of data so that it makes it easier for tourists to see where there are tourist attractions, where they would be safer or not safer, so that people are more aware of where they can visit in India. There's a very, very wide-ranging and broad range of applications for this sort of data.
Right. In your media release, you spoke about the current need to correct Australian coordinates in terms of the shifting of the continents. Would you like to maybe explain a little bit about that?
Yes, definitely. So this story last, let's say, 6 months with the BBC, for example, describing it as Australia being the height of a kangaroo out of sync with everybody else. And what that means is that because of the increasing use of GPS and the future applications of it, so tying back into this whole open data initiative and these different open data programs, people are more aware of the need for accuracy. There are applications that require that level of accuracy. People are interested in it. It's not some obscure cartographic detail as it used to be. But Australia moves quickly in comparison to other continents. So it's continental drift. Continents are not static. They are moving around. And Australia is moving faster than other land masses. And in previous decades, that was fine. They would update the maps periodically. Things would just reference this fixed grid on the continent itself, so it wouldn't be a problem. But now, because of these global systems and the need for highly accurate data, that's not okay anymore. So Australia is updating their datum and their coordinate system so that it's going to be ahead of the shift, the shifting of Australia on the surface of the Earth. And so at 2020, it will be in sync again. And then from 2020 onwards, the plan is to have a more live mapping of the Australian continent. So it won't be a matter of ever being static. It will always be a live update and will be provided to others to allow them to sync that with their applications.
Okay. All right. This is very interesting. Would you like to take us through now your project of the weighted center of all Australian addresses?
Yep. We access this Australian data set of every single address point.
Yep.
And we took that data and we plotted it in a geographic information system.
Yep.
So the geographic information system we used was Maptitude, the mapping software.
Yep.
And then we found the center of gravity for those points, and because Australia is heavily weighted towards the southeast in terms of number of households, residences, even though there's pretty extensive development around Perth, if you look at a map of every single point address, which you can with a GIS, you can see it's all in the southeast of the continent to the east of the country, and that drew the center down into New South Wales, to that Kinobel Lake region, and that is the dead center of this residence, this human center of the country. No, that was an analysis of 14 million addresses.
Okay.
So it's pretty nifty. It's pretty interesting how that amount of data can be analyzed so quickly.
Wow. And you came up with the center of Australia is a lake in New South Wales. That's quite interesting, but I don't quite understand how the human center will be a lake, and how does that work?
So it is because of all of these different points. So if you imagine a map of Australia, and then you put a push pin for every single address for the entire country onto that map, then each one of those little addresses has an attraction like a magnet.
Okay.
So each one of those little addresses is acting like a little magnet for this center. So you put the push pin for the center of Australia right in the middle of Australia.
Okay.
And then you let each of these little dots for each address act as a little magnet.
Okay.
And all of these little magnets will move that center. And because of where people live in the country of Australia, all the little magnets pull that center, and they pull it down and down into the southeast, into this location, and that's where it settled. That is the result of the attraction of all of those locations, pulling it down into New South Wales.
Okay. If I may divert from that a little and just go back to the data, is this associated in any way to, you know, the calls that we get from people we don't know who are maybe trying to sell products or trying to get us involved in certain things? Is that data sharing thing involved in that?
So, not normally, and almost universally not normally. The government sharing of data is pretty strict normally about not invading anybody's privacy.
Yep.
So details such as persons' names, phone numbers, national identification numbers, none of that stuff is normally shared. And as I said, almost never shared. Okay. So data such as census information is shared, so you would know down to a small area the income for areas, the population for areas, the type of businesses in a certain area, the land use in certain areas, and that's all available from the census, another vital government source of data that's used in mapping systems, as I said, like in the Maptitude mapping software that we provide.
Okay.
And in terms of the calls that you're getting, it would help with more accurate deliveries for a company like Amazon, so that you would know exactly where the building location is. And that's critical for delivery companies, because otherwise the address is just along the line, the road. They don't really know where the center of the building, where the actual building is. It could be offset from the road quite considerably.
Yeah.
So having these accurate locations helps in deliveries, but in the USA, for example, the center of the country was calculated by a company that deals in online fraud prevention. Uh-huh. And if they didn't have a location, a geographic location for an IP address, they just dumped it at the center of the country. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, that center was placed onto an unsuspecting farmer's house. And what the result of that was that whenever a cyber crime or scamming or these auto dialers that you're referring to was associated with an IP address that they didn't know where it was, placed in the center of the country, and people assumed that this illegal activity was taking place from this farmer's house.
Oh.
People were harassing the poor farmer, and people would even drive to that location and do things like weird things, like dump a toilet in his driveway.
Oh.
And I mean, they literally had no idea for years and years what was going on. And the police had to post notices and say, you know, you're not allowed to come here. Come to us first if you have a grievance.
Yep.
But even the FBI and government agencies would come and talk to these people in this farmstead. Eventually, a reporter discovered the reason and went out and explained it to them, and that was the first they realized that they had been placed at the center of the country for this online fraud prevention by a single company. So,
that is
worse, I guess, of what you were worried about.
That is really sad, isn't it, and unfortunate on the farmer's part.
Yes, exactly. It is unfortunate. But what we've done will not result in that. We are not a fraud protection company. This is more an interesting exercise to see where the center is rather than it being tagged or anything like that.
Yeah. So can the general public access the software? Is this directed to the businesses only, or can just anybody get hold of the software and see, or do they have a site where they can actually go on the internet to surf and check all these things?
So the data itself is freely available from the Australian government. Uh-huh. But then the value added to make it useful to be able to do things with, you typically would need a software application like Maptitude, a commercial application typically that would have an integration to make it useful. So our software is available at mappingsoftware.com. And it's not available for free. You can get free trials, and it is freely available for students. Uh-huh. And we do work with non-profits as well. So if any students or academics or universities or colleges or schools need copies of the software, we're happy to provide it for free.
Uh-huh.
And that's especially useful for, let's say, schools in rural areas or areas that have bad internet connection.
Uh-huh.
Because in the modern world, we just assume everybody has access to internet, and many schools do not have good access to internet, and that means they can't easily teach students using online maps.
Uh-huh.
So they don't have access to all of this mapping technology that's available online, whereas the Maptitude, the mappingsoftware.com, can be used completely offline, and they can work with large data sets and explore their local neighborhood, look at environmental factors, look at things globally. The software is used widely in education, also by non-profits, NGOs, because it is more affordably priced compared to other applications. But again, we're at the value-added end of the spectrum in terms of this open data.
Okay. Thank you so much, Stuart, for joining us and for explaining all this very interesting information about the data, about the coordinates and all that stuff. I do thank you very much for joining us on this program.
No problem, Percy. It was a pleasure. It's interesting to talk about. It's interesting stuff, and Australia is definitely doing a great job opening up the data and making it more transparent and just helping out its citizens.